It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 49 degrees under overcast skies. At the airport, they have northwest winds at 12 miles per hour, and they are back up to 10 miles of visibility. However, the Weather Service has issued a special weather statement once again regarding resuspended ash from Katmai Nova Rupta. That's expected to begin to hit the island tonight and should be hanging around until Wednesday night. So especially folks living in the southerly end of the island, be aware of that. Coming up on the Midday Report, Cost Savers has been sold to the native village of Afognak and the Shunack tribe. Alaska's had a tough time filling unfilled jobs. A study suggests why that is. And efforts are now underway to restore the oldest standing building in Anchorage. It's the St. Nicholas Orthodox Church.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Chaos in the aftermath of a deadly explosion at a hospital in Gaza. The Associated Press cites Palestinian health officials in reporting hundreds of people were killed. Still, no confirmation on what caused the explosion, but Israel's been carrying out airstrikes on Gaza since the Hamas militant attacks against Israel 10 days ago. The West Bank's Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has called off his meeting tomorrow with President Biden, according to a Palestinian official speaking with NPR, as well as multiple other reports. Following today's carnage, Abbas is calling for 3 days of mourning. NPR's Tamara Keith reports President Biden is still expected to meet with leaders of Israel, Jordan, and Egypt as pressure builds for an international humanitarian response in Gaza.
Getting humanitarian aid in without aiding Hamas and getting civilians out without allowing members of Hamas to slip in to Egypt is a significant challenge. Biden's team has been working on it for days. They've made some progress, but that humanitarian corridor still isn't open. And there's a risk of Biden going there, asking for it, working on it, and not bringing back that deliverable.
That's NPR's Tamara Keith. New U.S. assistance for Israel and other top priorities are on hold on Capitol Hill because the U.S. House has yet to elect a speaker. NPR's Susan Davis says Republican nominee Jim Jordan was unable to garner enough votes in the first ballot on the House floor today.
20 Republicans voted for someone other than Jordan on the House floor. With a narrow Republican majority, he can only lose 4 Republican votes and still win the gavel. All Democrats voted for their leader, Hakeem Jeffries of New York. Just over half of Jordan's opponents are lawmakers who sit on either the Appropriations or Armed Services Committees. Jordan's record of opposition to spending bills and skepticism of military aid has been cause for concern as Congress works to avoid a shutdown and pass additional aid to Ukraine. Jordan supporters were prepared for multiple rounds of balloting. Back in January, it took Kevin McCarthy 15 rounds to become Speaker. Susan Davis, NPR News, Washington.
A new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll finds the presence of third-party candidates such as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could be a major wild card in the presidential election. Here's NPR's Domenico Montanaro.
The poll found President Biden leading former President Trump overall by 3 percentage points, 49 to 46, but that was within the almost 4-point margin of error. When RFK Jr., who's running as an independent, was introduced as an option, Biden's lead expanded to 7 points. Other surveys have found RFK Jr. pulling slightly more from Biden. Kennedy is making strategists in both parties nervous, and for good reason. He's a former Democrat with a famous last name, and he's played on the kinds of conspiracy theories, especially related to vaccines, that have been popular on the political right. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
From Washington, this is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Kodiak's wholesale store, Cost Savers, was sold last week to the native village of Afognak and the Shunack tribe. The joint venture was announced in a press release on Thursday. For now, consumers should expect business as usual, but as KMXT's Brian Venua reports, it's the latest move in improving food security on the island.
The deal was in the works for about 2 months before it was announced. The native village of Afognak is the new majority owner of the store, which will still be called Cost Savers. They've partnered with the Shunack tribe of Kodiak for the purchase. J.J. Marsh is the tribal administrator for the Shunack tribe.
I just think it's a great partnership. You know, it's time for our tribes to collaborate and work together.
And Candace Branson is the tribal administrator for the native village of Afognak. She says they initially wanted to buy just an empty lot near the store to expand the village's farm programs, but ended up buying the store as well.
After some contemplation and looking at the financials and thinking about the impact that it would have to run our own grocery operation like that, and the impact on food security that it could have and on helping our bottom line.
Branson says for now, staff are looking at filling open positions and overall maintaining the status quo.
We are looking at just stabilization for the next year and a half, 2 years, and then we'll start on the development. But we've got some time to build a good plan and make sure that we have everything in order before we start.
Marsh says this is the Shunack tribe's latest step in diversifying its investment portfolio.
We are trying to find ways to sustain our tribes in the future, especially with food security and putting our people to work also. So we discussed it and met and decided that our tribal council and Native Village of Afognak's tribal council thought it would be a good partnership.
But buying Cost Savers isn't the only part of a new joint business venture. The Native Village of Afognak co-operates Malluk Farms, which is one of six tribally owned farms on the island. Branson says they hope to have locally grown produce on shelves in the next few years.
We're going to keep using the system we're using for now. And as we develop comfort in managing the store and are able to expand out to include our farms.
The Shunack tribe also owns Kodiak Island Wild Source, a seafood processing business. Marsh says it's too early in the process to sell its products in the store, but patrons could see local seafood in freezers there in the next 6 months. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venua.
The large number of unfilled jobs in Alaska is not just about the pandemic, the Great Resignation, or the disenchantment of Gen Z with traditional work roles. New data from the Alaska Department of Labor suggests that it's also about demographics and that it's not going to turn around anytime soon. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Finding workers in Alaska these days is tough. That's because there are roughly two jobs open for every one looking for work. This is 180 degrees from the historic job market in the early 2000s, where there were just over two job seekers for every available job. It all came to a head over the last couple of years, and there was a constant refrain, the Great Resignation.
Where is everybody? Job openings everywhere are left unfilled. Businesses are desperate for workers. The Great Resignation, America's...
Many analysts attributed the Great Resignation to a reset of sorts, a change in the attitudes toward work. So many people lost jobs during the pandemic, they just weren't ready to go back to their old, unfulfilling work, we were told. But something had started to change even before the pandemic, and it's described in the latest issue of the Alaska Department of Labor's Economic Trends. All across the country, job openings had begun to rise, and labor shortages were occurring because baby boomers were aging out of the workforce. Demographers had seen it coming for a long time. That it happened in the middle of the first global pandemic in a century was coincidence. State labor economist Nan Robinson authored the October issue of Trends. He writes, the pandemic accelerated the imbalance by prompting many older workers to retire earlier than they otherwise would have.
The three examples that come to mind to me most obviously would be nurses, teachers, and flight attendants. I think how miserable some of that work became during COVID.
And Robinson also makes another critical point. Although some economic trends are leveling out in the aftermath of the pandemic, this demographic trend likely won't.
Employers are going to have to work hard to hire and retain until I think the baby boomers are kind of all the way aged out and we find some new stability. And that might mean some companies figuring out how to do the same business they used to do with fewer people.
So now the question is, once an employer has found workers, how do you keep them? The October issue of Trends also looks at job turnover, and the data there are also telling. For example, although wages matter in retaining employees, wages aren't everything. Some occupations with high compensation, like cell tower installers or highway maintenance workers, show exceptionally high rates of turnover, while other lower-paid occupations, like bicycle mechanics and bartenders, tend to hold on to workers. The data don't account for tips, which likely throw bartenders into a higher earning tier than bike mechanics, but there is overlap in less quantifiable ways, like creativity and social interaction, and a dedication to a craft or purpose. And what sends workers away from an employer? Sometimes it's a desire to change jobs or do the same job for someone else at higher pay. Alaska doesn't have hard data in this area, but Robinson cites a national study conducted by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which concluded that a toxic work culture was 3 times more likely to contribute to attrition than compensation. He writes, some of the attributes of a toxic culture include disrespectful treatment and unethical behavior.
It begs the question what workplace toxicity means. But every time I've brought that up, I was doing a presentation in Anchorage last week, and I mentioned that. And I swear a tenth of the people in the audience's heads were vigorously nodding.
All of these factors are probably in play in the two occupations in Alaska with the highest and lowest rates of turnover. At the top of the list, with an annual turnover rate of 84%, are fast food cooks who earn an average of $16 an hour. And at the bottom, with a turnover rate of just 8% and an hourly wage of about $50 an hour, are architects. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
An effort is underway to renovate the oldest standing building in the municipality of Anchorage. The St. Nicholas Orthodox Church represents a long relationship between the Russian Orthodox following and the Dena'ina Athabascans that inhabited the native village of Eklutna.
A small crowd gathers on a cool Friday morning at St. Nicholas Russian Orthodox Church. Bishop Alexei of Sitka in Alaska delivers a prayer in front of a large crane and several scissor lifts.
Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, do thou...
It's the start of a project to restore the historic church, a project funded through a federal grant. The building is a far cry from its heyday decades ago, with layers of dust covering numerous religious icons inside the church that are more than a century old. The outside of the church needs work too, says Job Bernier, one of the architects working on the restoration project.
It is rare to demo anything on a historic building, especially a historic sacred building. We want to preserve every single thing we can, but in this case, it does have a head height issue where people are hitting their head. It has rotting logs.
The first step in the restoration project is taking down the old bell tower. As the crowd looks on, construction workers carefully saw the thin wooden beams holding up the tower. A crane then steadies it and brings it to the ground. Bernier says the restoration project is still in its early stages and he's not sure when it'll actually finish, but the goal is to return the church to a usable form.
It still is important that it is a tourist site and tourist destination and an informative site. However, its primary function is sacred, and that's important to all of us, even those of us that are not Russian Orthodox.
Watching the tower come down is an emotional experience for many at the site, including Charlene Shagana, great-granddaughter of Eklutna Alex and granddaughter of Mike Alex. Eklutna was the last Dena'ina shaman of the village, while Mike was the village's last traditional chief. She says she sees the restoration project as a new beginning.
It was like a renewal. It wasn't an ending. It was like the beginning of the next 50 or 70 years that this church is going to be serving our community, and our tribal members.
The overlap of the Russian Orthodox Church and the Dena'ina Athabascans who've long occupied the Aklutna area has a long history. Aaron Leggett, president of the native village of Aklutna, estimates that roughly half of his people's population died between 1836 and 1839 due to an outbreak of smallpox.
The Russian Orthodox Church was in charge of inoculating its followers, and so we started to see a new religion as part of our cosmology.
While the church is the oldest standing building in Anchorage, it didn't originate there. Leggett says the church was originally built in Kinnick around 1875, but it didn't stay there for long.
This location was reestablished in the late 19th century when Kinnick became overrun with trappers and gold miners, and it was literally the Wild West.
Leggett estimates the church was moved to Aklutna by around 1895. Walking around the cemetery near the church is a different experience than walking through a traditional Russian burial area. While Russian Orthodox followers typically bury their dead, Leggett says the Dena'ina had a spiritual practice of cremating their remains, so the two groups came to a compromise.
We were afraid that the spirits would get confused, so we constructed the spirit houses. And traditionally, a person's prized possessions would be put inside the house, things that they would need in the afterlife, like a good pair of gloves, moccasins, a good knife, some food, that kind of thing.
Leggett says the graveyard gets a lot more visitors than in years past, so the tribe has moved away from putting personal items in the small, decorative, colorful spirit houses placed above the graves.
We'll still see sometimes little things of nominal value put by the graves. For example, behind me you can see Julie's grave, her daughter's. Always put a fresh bottle of Coca-Cola for her.
Like Shaganaw, Leggett is a descendant of Aklutna Alex, a longtime caretaker of the church. He says his people aren't as tied to the Russian Orthodox faith as they used to be.
Most of the people of my grandmother's generation, those born before World War II, were baptized Russian Orthodox. However, most people of my mom's generation and certainly my generation are not Russian Orthodox.
Still, he describes the St. Nicholas Orthodox Church as a reflection of his tribe's history and their heritage, and he's hopeful the restoration project will ensure that history is preserved. Reporting in Aklutna, I'm Wesley Early.
There was a little voodoo on Friday the 13th. Anchorage's Service High School Jazz Band hosted some special guests. Five members of the swing band, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, showed up to jam and offer a few pointers with the 9 a.m. jazz band class. Trumpet player Glenn Markevka greeted students early Friday morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're very happy to be playing our horns this early this morning. We are part of the band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. As you can see, we don't have the whole band, so this is the horn section of Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Jazz band. Rushing it just a little bit. You're on the front side, so it's ba do ba ba bo do ba ba.
Mm-hmm.
that sounded better already to me. I think you're all listening and you're being aware of the time now. We borrowed some plungers graciously that the jazz band loaned us. And normally we have clarinet, but we only have a tenor sax right now. So we're going to modify a little bit. That's jazz.
Was Big Bad Voodoo Daddy and the Service High Jazz Band playing at a school workshop last Friday morning.
Americans just keep on spending. I'm Novosalvo with the Marketplace Minute. We spent more in September at restaurants, on cars, and on pretty much everything else except furniture and electronics. Overall, the Commerce Department says retail sales increased by a better-than-expected 0.7%, suggesting a strong economy in the third quarter. Choice Hotels International is offering $8 billion in cash and stock to purchase rival Wyndham. Choice says it's making a public offer directly to shareholders after Wyndham broke off merger talks. Bill Ford, executive chairman of the car company that bears his family name, is urging unionized workers to end their strike or risk threatening the company's future. Negotiations appear to be at an impasse. I'm Novosalvo with the Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 17th day of October, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 8:48. It will set again at 6:59. That will give us 10 hours and 11 minutes of glorious daylight. A loss of 4 minutes and 52 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 58 degrees set in 1982, and our record low is 22 set in 1970. Currently 49 degrees under overcast skies. At the airport, they are back up to 10 miles of visibility, and they have northwest winds to 12 miles per hour. The Weather Service is calling for a likelihood of rain, mainly after 2 this afternoon. Cloudy skies with a high near 48, north winds to 15. And that rain is likely to continue until about 8 tonight, followed by scattered showers between 8 and 2 a.m. Cloudy skies in the early evening will gradually clear with a low around 37 tonight, northwest winds to 20, gusting to 25. And for tomorrow, sunny skies, high near 49, northwest winds to 25, gusting to 30. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up. Our next high tide will be at 3:47 this afternoon here on the east side and be 9.6 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:29 this evening of -0.4. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 4:19 p.m., just about 4:20, and be 15.1 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 10:56 of -1.1 feet. And mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side out to 15 nautical miles. Small craft advisory for tonight and Wednesday. For tonight, northwest 25 and seas coming up to 7 feet. For tomorrow, northwest 30 and seas to 10 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory for tonight and Wednesday as well. For tonight in the Shelikof, northwest 25 and seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, northwest 25 and seas to 6 feet. The following are upcoming meetings in the Kodiak Island Borough. On Tuesday, October 17th, the Joint Building Code Review Committee will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Conference Room at 3 p.m. On Wednesday, October 18th, The Planning and Zoning Commission will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday, October 19th, the Assembly will be having its regular meeting in the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough's website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. Assembly meetings are live-streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough's YouTube channel. If you subscribe, you will be sent live-stream notifications. Also, there is a special weather statement from the Weather Service regarding resuspended ash from Katmai Nova Repta. Once again, high winds at the south end of the island are expected to develop this afternoon and persist through late tonight or late tomorrow night. There's a high chance that these winds will resuspend ash from the 1912 Katmai Nova Repta eruption, and the villages of Karluk, Akiak, and Larson Bay are especially likely to be impacted. But ash may be observed on the eastern parts of Kodiak Island as well, so anyone with respiratory ailments in those areas are encouraged to avoid or reduce outdoor activity starting tonight and going through tomorrow night. The KMXT Board of Directors will hold their next monthly meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the KMXT building here at 620 Egan Way. The meeting is open to the public, and members are always encouraged to attend. For more information, call 907-486-3181. Also continuing this afternoon, Scuttlebutt, the Galley Tables Workshop for Youth. It's a free weekly storytelling workshop for students in grades 9 through 12. They practice building and sharing stories with the help of experienced storytellers. That begins at 4 p.m. and is expected to go through about 5:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Public Library's Craft Room tonight. For more information, call 907-486-7396. And some excitement coming up. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis will be performed this weekend. Four public performances only. That will be Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m., and Sunday at 2 p.m. Tickets are available at kodiakshakespeares.ludus.com. That's Kodiak Shakespeares, all one word, ending in bears, .ludus, L-U-D-U-S.com. Or you can purchase them at the door. Bring the family and come to watch the fantasy classic. It's live at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. Kodiak Elders Coffee Tea Hour is happening on Friday. That goes on from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Koniag Conference Area over on Near Island, 194 Alamac Drive. All Kodiak Elders are invited to join them for coffee, tea, and refreshments, and come and enjoy another drawing workshop with Janet Bain. Supplies and refreshments are provided, and transportation is available for beneficiaries. For more information and to arrange a ride, contact Elder Services at 907-486-7352. Also, the Kodiak Fire Department would like to remind you that cooking safety starts with you. Here are some safety tips to help reduce the risk of a cooking fire. Watch what you heat. Keep a close eye on what you're cooking. If a small grease fire starts, put a lid over the pan and turn off the burner. Don't throw water on it. Have a kid and pet free zone at least 3 feet around the stove to prevent any potential accidents. And it's not just lecture. The regional Kodiak Fire Departments are hosting an open house. That's happening at the U.S. Coast Guard Firehouse on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're going to have bounce houses, food, a fire truck display, meet and greet with Sparky, learning activities and games, fun for the whole family, and kids love the fire department. Again, that's happening on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the U.S. Coast Guard Firehouse. For more information about Fire Prevention Week, visit www.fpw.org. Don't forget the Stiles Clark Auction Masquerade is happening this Saturday. Doors open at 5 p.m. Dinner is served at 5:30. Cash bar until 10. Live music, live auction, silent auction, open to everyone 21 and older. Tickets are on sale now. And don't forget the senior citizens of Kodiak is still in need of some paper bags. Make sure they're not torn or soiled. that can be dropped off at the center between the hours of 8:30 and 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.